Turn to Romans 8, if you would. Let's start in verse 26 and work our way backwards today. And you'll again have to forgive me for rehashing simple things, but I believe that if we don't get the simple things in us, it's hard to build on to the greater things. Like any foundation, it's important to understand what's what. So Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh the intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is here to help with our infirmities or our weaknesses. An infirmity is anything that's in the way of you having everything God has for you. So in Romans 8, it's clear that you're going to have infirmities. You're going to have things in the way of the promises of God that he has for you. But it's okay because you have a helper to help you overcome those. How many know the plan of God is not for the infirmity to win, but for you to win? And so the Holy Spirit is here to help you overcome the infirmities. Now we're going to back up a couple verses. That was verse 26. Let's back up to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. So, in all that we've been talking about the last number of months, in mortification, in transformation, understanding what we're being translated to and who we're being translated from is important. The whole earth is in labor pains right now. And I've been using props lately, people props. So Lori, why don't you come up here and be our model for us? I love Lori. She's such a pretty pregnant lady. Amen. It's so cute. The belly starts to stick out. They start to lean backwards when they get up out of the chair. Come and stand over here on my right side there. Let's give her a big hand. You're due in August. So she's not ready yet, but she's got a bun in the oven, as they say. Now, here's the reference that it's making. Because in Romans 8, Paul talks about two kinds of suffering. Later on in Romans, the last part of the chapter, he talks about persecution, tribulation. And that's suffering from the outside to you. That's being persecuted and tribbled and famined and all the things that the enemy is going to bring against you as you attempt to grow in the love of God. But this suffering here in the first half of Romans 8 is an internal suffering, a suffering within yourself that he refers to as being in labor. Okay, now let's look on here. Let's go down to verse 20. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So God sent Jesus, and Jesus told all of creation, you're not good enough. That's the vanity. That you're all, it's vain. It's not enough. Creation, this earth, is not enough anymore. Your body, this mortal body, is not enough anymore. Say amen if you understand. And the vanity is not to make you depressed. It's in hope. Saying it's not good enough is not to make you feel you're such a loser, a failure, because look how much you have to struggle with. How many know that in this life, there's some horrible things that happen to people? And depending on how horrible your past is, you may have more of a struggle than someone else in certain areas. But God is not telling you that it's vanity to make you feel bad about where you are. Because you can compare yourself one to another. You know, talking to one person who you can be, if you're tired, you can be seated. But talking to one person whose earthly father subjected him to horrible experiences, raised every day in horrible experiences, and then having things in his heart, in his soul, rise up that he had to deal with because of his past, it's not fair for him to compare himself to the guy who's next to him who had a perfectly good natural father. It'd be unfair for him to say, I'm not as good as you. I'm not as strong as you. I'm not as powerful as you. I'm so weak. See, that's not the vanity here, simply to say, every one of us, no matter how good it looks or how bad it looks, it's not enough. But there is enough. That's the hope. Christ subjected the whole creation to vanity with hope that there's a better way and it's possible for each individual, no matter how heavy the struggle, to find that place of hope. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it to hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. But not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the redemption of the body. We're waiting for a new body. Why? Because this old body from this earth is causing us trouble. You want to know where your trouble comes from? It's your body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So he's referring to the earth and to your fight with your body. See, your fight with your body is so much more than just Cheetos, tacos, pizza, Krispy Kreme. Your fight with your body is so much more. It has to do with every thought, every hurt, every wound, every opinion about every decision you make in life. And so the hope that he's saying here is the same hope that Lori has that she's going to have a baby. How many know she's going to have a healthy little baby? And so there's a hope in her. Now, if you ask her, are you suffering right now? And she's like, you have me up in front of everybody. Yeah, I'm suffering. When Christy got pregnant, we were going to Indian Palace every Sunday with Pastor Dave. And all of a sudden, the smell that she used to like, she could not stand. And then pretty soon, she had morning sickness. How many know that morning sickness is a suffering for a lady? And, you know, there's a time when you get pregnant, when they're usually about a month out, you can talk to every pregnant lady and they'll say, I'm just ready to get this baby out of me. You know, pretty soon the baby starts moving all, like the baby starts to push on the organs inside of her. But there's a hope. What's the hope? That something is being created that's beautiful and glorious. There's a reason for this suffering. Because what's coming forward, the labor pains, you know, when a woman's in labor, it's never, I'm assuming, you know, it's you know, I remember arguing with my wife and all the women in the church and all the women that I meet on the street, jokingly, when she said, well, you're coming into the labor room, right? And I said, oh, no, I'm an old school. I'm going to be down in the far part of the hospital where all the men sit. I'll be handing out cigars. It's a boy, you know. And we'll be sitting out waiting for you to come out, you women folk, to come out and tell us that it's all the work's done. And, I mean, my mother, my mother-in-law, every woman in the church started giving me dirty looks. People, women I never even met would just look at me strangely on the street like, you are going to be in that room. You know, there's no option nowadays. So I went in, but the labor pains is for the lady, and the man don't feel any of the labor pains. But this is what he's referring to in Romans 8. This is a type of suffering of mortification, because you hear this sometimes. I've heard it said lots of times, in a fight against mortification. You know, why are you always talking? Why is there always talking about putting to death? And you'll hear this statement. Instead of trying, I got set free because I quit trying to be. No, don't amen this because it's the wrong statement. Instead, it sounds nice. It sounds peaceful, but it's dangerous. Instead of trying to be someone all the time, instead of praying and fasting and working so hard at being somebody else, I just quit. And I just begin to discover who I am. And see, the problem with that is you'll discover who your flesh wants you to be. See? So the kind of suffering he's talking about in the first part of Romans 8 is just like what a pregnant woman is suffering. Morning sickness, and even through the laboring, you know. And in the moment, the laboring is hard, but you're bringing forth something as precious and beautiful and pure. And this is what he's talking about when we talk about mortification. Not a horrible thing that you have to face because you're born again, but a glorious thing. Yes, it's suffering in the present, but what's coming forward is something glorious and beautiful. It's like having a baby. It's beautiful. You can't wait till it comes. But in the meantime, you can't hurry up a baby, can you? You know, a baby takes time, its own time. And, you know, sometimes 9 months and a little bit. Sometimes I was born 2 months early, sometimes a little bit earlier. But a baby comes when it's ready. Amen? Give our glorious, glorious mama a big hand. Now, the reason I'm trying to micro-focus on some of these verses is because it magnifies how powerful the transformation is once you're born again. One of the things that most young Christians fight with is the identity problem of saying, I'm such a failure, I'm such a loser, I'm no good because of what I'm struggling with. And when you begin to see that you're struggling with your body, that you're not your body anymore, that the reason we mortify this whole body is because one day we're going to get a glorified body. And so the source of your battle, your unbelief, the source of your struggle, the source of every ugly thing in your life, and some good things that aren't of God, come from this natural body that you wear. So keep it in mind that the mortification we're having is not a bad word. It's like you're allowing yourself to bring forth a beautiful child. And the suffering that you're going through is just the labor pains to bring forth that child. Say amen if you're still with me. Now, I do preach better if you amen. Don't forget. Now, still in Romans 8, let's go back to... Now, I've taught this, but I'll just pass in review, verse 9. But if you're not in the flesh... Now, in Romans 8, when it says the word flesh... It's not talking about your body in the King James Version and the New King James Version. It's talking about the old nature of sin that you're born with that came from Adam. It's not talking about your body. When it says the word body, it's talking about the body that you're wearing. Say amen if you're still with me. Say good preaching. Say you're a great preacher. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. See, the hope of the gospel is you're not stuck. Some of us have different mountains that are bigger than others in our life, and some of us have bigger mountains that are bigger than the guy next to us. But they have their own mountain they have to face. See, I've been through mountain-moving problems in my life, and most of the mountain-moving problems have been my will. I've been through struggles, deep, deep struggles of trying to run away from the will of God, that I overcame and stayed in a place I didn't want to stay and didn't run. And that same understanding is what's allowed me to walk through my current battle, is that I'm not stuck here. I don't care what it looks like or feels like or seems like or what the doctors say. I refuse to accept that I am stuck with this infirmity, because I have something to help me and someone to help me move this infirmity. And when we take faith out of being the big miracle that happens, and we put faith, because when you're facing something and it's there tomorrow and you're tired, you're like, you were here yesterday, you were here the day before, and then tomorrow you wake up and it's still here, you begin to question, do I really have faith? Because if I had faith, wouldn't it be gone by now? If I was strong, wouldn't I have overcome this by now? And see, faith is not described by the movement. Faith sometimes is described by not giving up. Getting up every day and holding on to the Word of God and saying, His Word is true. And even though I have to drag my foot around today, you may have to drag your emotions around. You may have to drag around fear. You may have to drag around self-pity. You may drag around low self-esteem. Whatever it is you're dragging around, just because it's here today again, doesn't mean you're losing. Doesn't mean you failed. It just simply means you're on the path of victory, like a child, woman giving birth. It's going to come if you don't give up. Don't abort the mission. Of mortification. That's a good title. Don't abort the mission of mortification. Because when we give up, we find another message that your body says, amen, that's a good message. I'm going to quit striving so hard to be somebody else. I'm just going to take a deep breath. I don't need to pray so much. I don't need to fast. I don't need to face my weaknesses. I'm just finding myself. And your flesh puts his arm around you and goes, or your body puts his arm around you and go, amen, brother. Amen. Finally, you understand. We get to walk through life and enjoy it. But that's aborting what's coming forward as you're giving birth to the new man that you are. All right. So verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Flesh here means old nature, sin nature, but in the spirit. In this verse, spirit means the new nature. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the Spirit of God here is another word for a new nature. Now, if everyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, again, here's another word for the new nature, Spirit of Christ. Now, if anyone does not have that Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, again, Christ is another word for new nature. Christ is in you. The body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I'm reading on the New King James by bad habit. I'm going back. I have the King James Version on my iPhone here. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Can you see that? Now we're going to magnify and look a little closer. But the Spirit, say Spirit, is life because of righteousness. Now this is important. This verse is, as we fine-tune this, we're beginning to discover more. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, thank you for putting up with me for my human props. I'm going to bring them up again and hopefully help us to see who we are. So Jake, why don't you come? Jake is the body. Everyone boo him. He's the old body. Ooh. Yeah, stand over here, Jake. So this is the old body. Now, when you look in the mirror in the bathroom, this is what you see. Okay. You see the wrinkles. You see the pimples. You see the divots. And all the other good things. Okay, this is what you see when you look in the mirror. This is your body, the outward body. Now, the other part of you is the inward body, which the Bible also calls spirit, which can be confused because the word spirit can mean many different things. So the spiritual man, the inner body that you have, because remember, every person born, our inner body today is Sean. Sean coming up. Give him a hand. That's the inner body. Now, the inner body here, come stand right beside each other. Move over that way, guys. The inner body here, Sean represents, when you look in the mirror, you can't see him because he is hidden behind the natural body. But if you look at the Word, the mirror of the Word of God, you'll see the inner body and not the outward body. This is for someone who's born again, okay? So you're born again, you have an inner body, and you have an outward body, right? Now, before you're saved, let me bring up our evil Dr. Daniel. Is he here? There he is. This is the old nature. Ooh. And Joe, why don't you come up? Joe's going to represent the person that you are, you. The Bible's clear. You have, Joe, you can come stand right here beside Daniel. There you go, right in the middle. You have an inner body and an outward body, and you have a nature of darkness. This is before you're born again. Every person born is born like this. Every child. Adam was created to live in two worlds, the world of the spirit and the world of the natural at the same time. He was born with an inward body of spirit, that would be Sean, wave at me, and an outward body of flesh. And he was brought to life with the nature of God, or nature of God. But when he sinned, that nature turned to darkness. Are you still with me? So this is an unsaved person right here. So when this person looks in the mirror, he sees Jake. Jake would be the face of this man standing behind me. Now, when you're born again, something happens. The old nature dies, and the new nature comes to life. So let's have our good-looking new nature come. I mean, he's wanted on GQ magazine. He's six-pack abs, eight-pack of abs. Muscles come out of everywhere. And he comes. When you ask Jesus into your heart, the old nature dies. Now, hold on. Before you do that, let me read to you this verse in verse 10, because this is really important. I want you to look closely at verse 10, because there's a little word here. Another word for new nature is righteousness. So what this verse means, when it says the word spirit in verse 10, it means your inner body. Wave at me, inner body. Okay? So, and if Christ is in you, so if you're born again, the body is, wave at me, outward body, dead, but the spirit, inner body, is brought to life because of Mr. Righteousness. So Mr. Righteousness go kicked out, Mr. Unrighteousness. Daniel. Mr. Unrighteousness is pulled out of you, he dies, and you are resurrected and brought to life. So here you are. Now you look in the mirror, the natural mirror in the bathroom, what do you see? You see this guy. Now the thing in God's view, see, when God looks at you, because when you get to heaven, how many know we get a new name? So he doesn't even acknowledge the name of this guy. This is your old body. He's declared dead. He is just, you just wear him like a rotting corpse that's on you. Okay? Not dead like a dead animal on the road, but death. See, left over from the nature that died. So this is you. You have an inner body, an outward body, and a new nature. And it says here that the new nature, Mr. Righteousness, brought to life the spirit, but the body is dead. Are you all still with me? It's okay if you're not. I'll go over it again for another 6 months. But see, when we get this, we begin to see the war, the reason for the war, the reason for the battle, the reason praying in tongues is so important, the reason it's so important to spend your life not trying to build something good, but to spend your life obeying and laying your life at the altar of God. So this is the new you. When you look in the mirror, you see the outward body. Then this is when you look in the bathroom mirror. But how many know there's a mirror called the Word of God? So you want to know who you really are, look at the Word of God. Don't look in the natural mirror. I don't look in the natural mirror to see where I'm at, where I'm going, because it doesn't look so great nowadays. I look at the Word of God to tell me who I am, where I'm going, what my opportunities are. And when God looks at you, He doesn't look at this old deaf body. He looks at you here, because one day we're waiting for the redemption of the body, a new body that's going to come from our spirit. Amen. The quickening of the body will come. All right, let's pause there. Now I'm going to take all you guys, you two stay here. I want to leave the two bodies up here. Can you see the two bodies? Outward body. His name is deaf body, more body, inward body, who was brought to life because of Mr. Righteousness. Mr. Righteousness, your new nature. Let's look at verse 10 again. But if the Spirit, King James. But verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body, wave at me, body, is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, in this verse, the word Spirit here means inner body. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, do y'all see that? Okay, you three can go have a seat. Let's give them a big hand. I'm leaving my two bodies. Now let me read to you what God says about you, which when we say the word spirit now, inner man, that's talking about you. Okay? God has shown us there's a difference between you, your inner body, which is brought to life. Your inner body, this guy here, wave at me, inner body, was brought to life. Now, before you were born again, let's go back to before you're born again. These are two brothers, inner body and outward body. Join arms, guys. They're the same. They're both darkness because the nature of darkness taught them to be dark. Now, here they are joined. They're so joined. This is just a bad example of being joined because they're so joined that at the moment of conception, every cell that is built inside of a mother's womb to make a baby is built perfectly joined together, spirit and natural, spirit and earth. They're joined together. Every piece of your mind, every piece of your finger, every part of you is joined together, cell for cell. From the very first cell, you were made from the seed of Adam to be a spiritual creature and a natural creature. Say amen if I'm doing okay. So now they're saying everything's perfect. Unity, let's do this, let's do that. Everything's great. No problem. But then you bowed your knee at the altar. You asked Jesus, his righteousness, to come into you. And it brought to life who? It brought to life the Spirit. The spiritual man. You came to life. But not your body. Your body is left dead. This, when he says you're a new creature, it means it. There's a new creature now that never existed in the history of ever. A creature that never existed ever, now as it exists. You're a new creature with this old body of death, but yet the inner man is light in life. So, there's a song they sing. I'm free. I'm free to worship. I'm free to dance. How's that go? I'm free to run. Yeah, I hate that song. Well, because you know when you're in the church and the praise and worship team starts to get power over the people and they like that one song, you know, we're going to dance or sing all night. And you just hate when they sing. They're going to say, we're going to clap, clap, clap. You're like, yeah, we're going to clap, 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 clap all night. You ever know that song? Then they go, we're going to dance, dance, dance. And they help the praise and worship team told them power over the crowd. We're going to dance, dance, dance. And so you got to dance. And then they go, they're going to run, 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 run. And so you got to run just to keep them happy, you know. So there's that song, you know, I'm free. You know, we're free to, how does it go? Free to run. I'm free to dance. So now you get excited. You're born again. You find out who you are. Here's what God says about who you are. You ready? He says, you, this is you, because of the righteousness, the new nature inside of you, and your inner man. He says, you are a child of God. You are a branch connected to him. You are the apple of his eye. Now remember, when he looks at you, he doesn't look at the old ugly flesh here, body. He looks at you. He says that you're fearless. He says you're free from sin. He says you're an heir with Christ, accepted, a friend of God. You're at one with him. You're a new creature. You're the righteousness of Christ. You're blessed. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You're chosen. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are his workmanship. You're a member of his body. You've been brought near to him. You are light. You are a citizen of heaven. This is what the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God, says about you. So if you're feeling like you're going to fail, just read the Word and find that mirror and look at who you really are. You've been made complete in him. You're raised in him. You're loved by him. You're a treasure. See, when the Bible says you, there's a treasure inside of an earthen vessel. Treasure, earthen vessel. You are his masterpiece. You are his son or his daughter. See, you hear these words of who you are. How many are excited about who he made you? You're excited about who you are. So, you break because now you're light. You're still dark. But, see, you hear the song, I'm free to run. So run. Run, new man, run. Go, run. I'm free to dance. Run. Let me see you run. Do a little run. You're excited. It's youth conference, man. Woo! Celebrate. We're free. We're free. I'm free. I've been set free by the blood. Don't you know you're born again and set free by the blood? So you start running? Now, I brought another prop, though. Stephen will bring you up the big white rope there. Hand it to these bodies. So you have an inner body. Yeah, just given. They don't know what to do. I'm using props. I can't believe it. So you have an inner body and an outward body. See, they're cell for cell still. But now the inner body, the spiritual body, is life and light. And the outward body is dark. And it's not just like, you ever hear the story about the iceberg? That 90% of the iceberg you don't see. You only see the 10%. So see, when you look at the 10% of the iceberg, you can think, oh, this is all, you can make a list of your 10% of iceberg problems. You look at your body, you look at your life, and you say, okay, I have a problem with this. And I can make a list, and you can make a list. Your wife can make a big list. And you can say, I have this issue, and this issue, and this issue, and I get angry when I'm not supposed to, and I get jealous when I'm not supposed to. And you make a big list of all the things that you have to deal with. You can, fornication, drinking. Well, it depends what country you're in. Smoking, we can make a list. I had one lady talk to me, and she said, I come out of my parents were raised me in a church of holiness church. Why is it that people, she began to describe how they had to wear a gray dress, no jewelry, no makeup, hair in a bun. And she said, why do they come up with that? See, this is a man's version of holiness. And one of the things you don't ever want to do, listen carefully, is to try to offer God your good work as a reason for him to use you. See, the holiness we're after is a fruit. And so when you hear the words, I'm free to run, I'm free to worship, see, as you begin to run, the Bible says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, how many have experienced this? I'm free to run. Woo! I thought I was free. What's going on here? Boing. I'm free to be blessed. Boing. Says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now here the word flesh means your body. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another. So now you are a creature, or part of you that you wear is contrary to who you are. See, you are spirit. You have an inner body now, but the inner body was brought to life. It now can understand God and hear God when God comes. When God comes and talks to you, he talks to your inner body, your inner mind, and your inner ears. He whispers in your ear when you pray in the Holy Ghost. When the Bible says your mind is unfruitful, he simply means your natural mind is left out of the conversation. Doesn't mean that you're mindless. Just your natural mindless is all. Okay, thank you, God. So here you are, want to be free from this body. Okay, I know what I do. Body, you are going to obey the Word of God. I'm tired of you resisting me. If I walk in the Spirit, I'll not obey the lust of the flesh. So body, you're going to listen to me. And this is what most of us try. I'm telling you right now, the Bible says that I am the righteousness of Christ. So I know that I am righteous, so I'm telling you to obey. So we go grab our body, and we drag him to church. We drag him into holiness. We drag him. No, we've got to carry him, remember? So we begin to carry our body, and this is what we call conforming. So this is you. I can do it. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to stop this. No more. No more, I said. No more. I'm quitting everything right now. What happened? Go on. I didn't say stop. Come on. Come on. Get going. Get in it. Get righteous, buddy. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. You can do it. Don't give up. Cheer them on. Cheer them on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Good. Cameraman, you're watching them good. No, you can't quit. That's your body, man. That's your life. That's what you got. Do you ever get, where does that jealousy come from? Where does that envy come from? Where does that hurt? The low self-image. So here you are after 6 months of hearing the good preaching about who you are. You come to church just like this. I was just trying to tell my body to submit and, see, this is the battle of trying to walk in who you are without mortifying your body. See, the Bible doesn't say to drag your body, it says to mortify. Are you still with me? And all of us have, the reason we got hold of the message of praying in tongues was because we tried this. We tried it. We dressed in gray suits and little makeup, and we tried to act all spiritual and holy. When you come, especially the moms, you got 3 or 4 kids, you come to church and you're screaming and beating and swinging and yelling, and the husband's, fighting. Then you come to church, you're, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. I remember that time I had Harrison, and we call him Harrison because he never hears his name the first time. It's Harrison. So I was preaching up in Michigan, and we got to the church. And once you catch your breath, guys, you can stand up again. And so Harrison comes in the church with me. I'm just with Harrison at this service. He's been there before, so he's comfortable. And it's a suit and tie church, so I got my suit and tie. He's looking pretty decent. Now he's a few years younger, mind you. He's maybe 5 years old. And the first thing he knows, see, the kids know when they got you. So he knew he got me because I'm the speaker. So he starts to run around the church. Harrison, come here. Harrison, get over here. Harrison, you can get here right now or I'm going to... I give him the evil eye. Get over here. And he was like, no. So before service, we're running back and forth around the pews, and he's going under the pews and around the pews. Finally, I get him cornered right before praise and worship on the front row, and I got him in the corner. I'm like, let me tell you something, little man. I want to get you home to the hotel. You're going to get a whooping. And then I look up, and there's two sweet old church ladies looking over the pew at me, chewing out my son. And I'm like, and I'm going to tell you something. I love you very much. I said, so you can be chasing around that body, trying to make it obey who God says you are. But see, God is not the father of your flesh. He's not the father of your body. Adam is. This body belongs to this earth. So what does he tell us to do? Back to Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So wave at me, body. But hear the word spirit in this verse, inner body, is life because of righteousness. That is the new nature. You got righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. This is powerful. This goes back to the resurrection of the dead. There's a time coming where you're going to get a new body that's going to be redeemed. This body will be quickened through the spirit. And then you'll have a new body, not of this earth, but a new body that won't fight, that won't contend, that won't be against who you are. Therefore, brethren, because of this, therefore, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Why are we not debtors to the flesh? Because the flesh, the nature of sin is no longer in you, so you're no longer a debtor to live by it. You're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after it, after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. If you've got a nature of sin in you, you're going to die. There's no hope for you. But if ye through the Spirit. So what is the Spirit here? It's your new nature. It's the inner body. It's everything contained. It is what the Holy Ghost helps you with. Therefore, brother, we're debtors not to the flesh, live after the flesh. For verse 15, for if we live after the flesh, we'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do what? Mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, the word mortify is bigger than discipline. It's bigger than submit. It's bigger than control. It's bigger than conform. The word mortify means death. Put to death. See, when someone comes up to me and says, now I'm not making fun of someone because people are really hurt. I've dealt with some people who've been so wounded. See, but where the wounds lie in a person's soul is not in the spiritual man, but it's in the natural man. See, so every hurt you have from your past, see, when you're born again, why is it that when you decided to run after God, you were resisted? Where did that resistance come from? It's from your body, the outward body, even though you're born again. So you can try to force your body to conform into a Christian. I remember the girl, when I first saw it, I was sitting in church, and a girl got up to testify how she was so excited to be free from drugs. Now, I've dealt with this girl for years. She would be free for a week, and then back in another for 2 months, then free for a week. And back, if you ever had someone really deal with a lot of issues, you know, you need a lot of mercy and love for them. And so this was a week she was clean. And so she was all prettied up, church clothes, dressed up, testifying how God had helped her get clean again. But in my mind, I was thinking about how many times we've been through this. And the Lord told me, spoke to me and said, I did not tell you to conform to being a Christian. I told you to transform. See, and that's when I begin to see. Too many Christians are trying to conform the flesh, the body, the natural mind, the natural emotions, conform it to make it submit, make it obey You act good. You act behaved. You act right. And so we begin to conform our life to act like how God would want us to act. But this is different than the word mortification. Mortification is putting to death the voice of something in your life that comes from your natural body. The voice that says you're hurt. I've dealt with people who've been hurt, really hurt. And, you know, I guess some people come to me and say, I've been hurt in church. The pastor didn't say hi to me, and they didn't were nice to me. And I want to say, hey, I know people have been hurt. You're not even hurt. Go cry somewhere else. You know, some people like, they don't give me any love. They don't. And it's like, you know, that pastor's controlling. I know people have been under controlling churches. People that come to me crying, usually it's like, you got nothing to cry about. That's amateur compared to what some people have been through. And some mountains people have to come through. And so when someone comes up and they're saying, I'm just so hurt, I can't make it. When I was a kid, this happened to me. How many know there's some big wounds that happen to people that may take a long time to get free from? Okay. The hope of the gospel is you can get free from that. So my advice to them is, don't speak the voice of your body. Don't tell me you're hurt. You can say, I fight with being hurt, because the hurt is in your natural body, not your inner man. The inner man is perfect. It's righteous. It's holy. It wants righteousness. But you are contending against something that will every day fight you, every day until we give birth to a new body. You're going to be in labor pains. This is why it's so important. Listen, this is why it's so important to be adopted as a family. We adopt it as part of our daily lifestyle. Mortification is a part of our daily lifestyle. It's not to be a chore. It's not to be something we hate. It's to be a practice. We practice this walk of mortification, not accepting who the body says we have to be. Maybe you were raised in a family that didn't teach you or train you or help you with manners or help you with education or help you with lots of things. You're not stuck to live the rest of your life by that. That's the hope of the gospel. All right, let's keep reading. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the... This is verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereas we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness. The new nature itself bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Ghost is going to come tell you, you're a child of God. Your body will tell you you're not. The body's going to tell you every day what you are not and try to convince you who you are. So when we try to wrestle this body, now, some of you have bigger struggles in an area than the guy next to you. And what we don't want, two things we don't want is we pursue mortification. We don't want to use holiness as an offering to God to say, now you can use me because I'm holy. Look, God, what I did. That's an act. See, you can act holy. The body wants, say the body wants, chocolate bar. And we'll say a chocolate bar is an evil, evil sin. So the body wants the chocolate bar. So you can walk over to this body. Go ahead. You can walk over to this body and you could wrestle them to the ground and say, no chocolate bar for you. Now, he's going to fight you every single day. Keep wrestling. This is how many know this experience? Now, I'm purposely not saying Krispy Kreme, just so that... You're going to fight every day with that body. But there is a process called mortification where the voice of your body is mortified in the area that is trying to destroy you. So whether it be a hurt from your childhood, you don't have to wrestle it. Wrestling is part of the process. Not accepting it is part of the process, and hopefully we'll get into that next time. That is part of the process, but there's something bigger. Mortification. Mortification is when you put, it is what it means, mortify. You put to death the deeds of the body. The body begins to lose its voice. Now, there are certain members of your body you want to work. Your liver, you want it to work. Right? Your heart, you want it to work. That's a member. So when it says the members of the body, he's not talking about the working of just this body. See, that's why we have to get our mind wrapped around what the body really is. Cell for cell, your inner mind and outer mind together have a thought. See, we can look at the top 10% of the iceberg and say, I have defeated this body. I have made it stop. I have defeated it. But you need to realize there's 90% more to go. And those are the things that you don't even know are wrong. Those are the things that your nature, the nature from Christ, cannot tell you they're wrong. Only the Holy Ghost can tell you they're wrong. Because the 90% of things that are under that you don't see are usually good things. See, Eve was tempted not just for the by the Eve was not tempted by the evilness of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She saw the fruit to be good. It was the goodness. Your flesh, your body has a lot of goodness that it wants to offer to God, but God sees that goodness as being sin. Even the good works. And so when you go to pray, and all of a sudden you hear this voice say, you know, there's a poor person down the road, has no food. Let's stop praying. Let's go feed the poor. Now, once in a while, the Holy Ghost can direct you to that. But when you are constantly being pulled out of prayer to do good works, see, that voice comes from your flesh. Because your body wants to live with God. It wants to serve God, but God won't accept it. So the 90% is what we have to worry about. Not just the 10%. The 10%, the smoking and chewing and drinking. You know, we all know when there's things in our life that are, okay, this is bad. And I still want it. This is bad. But there's 90% more to go for you to walk in the fullness of who God says you are. To walk in the fullness of revival. To walk in the fullness on this planet to bring people to the kingdom of God. There's many good Christians out there living their life, serving God with great intentions. And God's going to bless them. They're feeding the poor every day. They're winning souls every day. But I'm looking for someone who will walk in revival. And as the world gets worse, let me tell you, talking people into Jesus is going to be harder than it ever was before. Talking people to Jesus is going to be more and more difficult. That we need men and women of God willing to go to a place where they mortify the deeds of and the members of this body to a place where it bows its knee. Now, if we were ever to actually mortify your body, then you would be in heaven. Amen. That's the ultimate mortification we're after, because then we receive a new body. So what does mortification mean? Let's read a little bit. For the Spirit himself, verse 16, the Holy Spirit himself, I'm reading out of the New King James now, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation earnestly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes witness, intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, we can go into many different scriptures, but I'm going to wind down today about mortification, about putting off the old man. And so I want us to understand that there is a part where you don't accept what you identify as being wrong from your body. The emotion of anger, the emotion of jealousy, the emotion of envy, the lust that you have for things that you shouldn't have. Because everyone has different desires in our flesh, in our bodies, for something we're not supposed to have. So yes, the first part is to take that sucker and put him on your back. Go ahead. And begin to tell him, this is who I am. See, you want to run off and say, I am this, I am that. And then you carry your body around. And eventually what happens? You get tired. And when you're tired, when you get lonely, when you get depressed and your guard is down, you fall and fail. It's something you've been fighting. That's the first part. The finishing part is not always going to be a struggle. That's why we pray in the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Holy Spirit will help you with whatever comes from your body that's trying to dictate to you who you are. And it's so much more than just the top 10%. It's every thought, every problem you have the rest of your life. Every problem you have. Were you tired already? Amen. I know what you're talking about, brother. Every problem you have, every financial question you have, you're going to have two voices. One from the natural body and one from your spiritual body. One from your natural mind, one from your spiritual mind. Every emotion you have, one voice is going to come from the natural body and one voice is going to come from your spiritual body. And this is how fine it is, the bone and marrow. It's so close to separate the two that only the Word of God is going to help you to find out who you really are, what's really from God. So the question is, what do I do? Keep praying in tongues. See, this is the hope of the gospel. I don't have to stay the way that you found me at 18 years old. See, I made mistakes at 18 years old. I've lived more years on the other side of those mistakes than I did before. But yet, I still think of those. Sometimes people will think of you from the mistake you made many years ago. You're divorced. You did this. You're drunk. You're a hater. You can be free from whoever you were ruined by. It just may take some time. And the tools we use. Why do I pray in tongues? See, the statement I hate. I quit trying to be someone else. And I started just to find out who I was. See, that's a voice of the flesh wrapped up in spiritual niceties. Saying, oh, I just quit striving. How many know when the vanity that God puts you in is to say, you're not good enough. It's not good enough until the dead are raised, the blind see, the deaf hear. The church is not good enough until we see the miracles, until we see the holiness, until we see the love. Not good enough. But see, he's not saying it to say, you're not good enough. You're not doing enough. He's saying it to say, there's more. There's more. What you're going through to get to more is the sufferings. The suffering of not accepting what your body says. The suffering of praying. The suffering of fasting. These sufferings that we do are with a hope that is like a girl giving birth. We're hoping for this birth to come. Something's coming. Just keep persevering. Don't stop. Don't be discouraged. And the mortification comes when, as Nathan said this morning, you pray and you pray and you pray, and all of a sudden a light begins to shine on something. See, you know what's in your life and put to death when God tells you to put it to death. Now, you'll go crazy if you take a list and you go to your friends, and you go to your wife, and you say, okay, give me a list of all my bad things. And so here it is. My list is about 2 inches long. My wife's list is 4 pages long, maybe 5. Then you add my friends and my mom's and her mom's. And pretty soon I got this list of imperfections. Now, I'll go crazy if I begin to try to check off each one until I think I'm ready. See, you're ready now in God's eyes. You're ready now. You don't have to offer Him holiness. Holiness is a fruit. And what that means is, I don't accept it. I don't have to go down that list and fight them all. I just need to keep praying in the Holy Ghost. And then God will say, now, you put that to death. Don't accept that anymore. Now, the moment you say, no, I'm not ready for that, that's when I'll have Nathan come and preach at you. And say, yes, you are ready. You are ready because God said you're ready. The Holy Ghost said you're ready. You built yourself up to a place, your spirit man up to a place where you can grab that body, that part of the body. So instead of a rope, I need to get a saw. And I'll give the saw to the inner man, and he'll get hold of that hand of the outward man and begin to saw it off right here on stage. You're going to love it. And there'll be next service, so we'll get ready for that. We're going to take the outward man. He's going to put his hand out, and the inner man's going to take a saw and cut it off. See, that is mortification. That is a process of mortification. Like Gary preached last Sunday, it's not fun because your body does not want to be mortified. It will let you dress it up in church clothes. It'll let you train it like a seal to say the right words and to hug the right people. But the moment you try to mortify it, it's going to fight you. See, mortification is taking that old wound that causes a girl to, that old wound that causes a person to reject somebody before they reject you. Do you ever meet someone like that? They're nice to you, and then all of a sudden you start getting close to them, they reject you. Why? Because they've been rejected so many times that they're going to reject you before you reject them. See, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, what will happen is the light will shine where you will say, God will say to you, now you can kill that thing in you that's causing you to be rejected. That's the difference between mortification and discipline. Mortification and wrestling. We're not to wrestle our flesh. We're not to conform our flesh. We're not to take this natural mind and make it understand the things of God. We're to make it submit to the things of God. Am I preaching okay? So the hope, the message in Romans 8 is not to say, you dirty, rotten scoundrel, look how bad you are, look how dumb you are, look how much of a failure you are, look how weak you are. It's to say, I am putting you in a place to see that all that you have is not good enough. But with a hope that there's more. And let me just close with this. This message is not for everybody. Do you know that this message, there's churches down the road that the people show up on Sunday and they have a 30-minute sermon and they go out and they'll still get people saved and do a really good work for God. They won't hear this message. The reason you hear this message is because God believes you can do it. And when you quit striving with your body, get praying in the Holy Ghost, and then what will happen is the light will shine. The Holy Ghost will shine a light on the area and say, you're ready to kill this. If you go try to kill an area, you're not quite ready yet. You'll be dragging that sucker around until you're exhausted. Say, I'm getting rid of anger. I'm getting rid. Take your time. The Holy Ghost will show you bit by bit and build you up to the place where the light shines on that, not just the 10% of stuff that you see, but it'll begin to shine on the 90% of stuff that you don't want to see, the stuff you want to keep, the stuff that makes you feel good about yourself. Some of you, if not all of you, are learning how to live, and I'm saying you, how to live in lack, what the world would call lack. Now, closing my Bible. Chrissy's going to start the Jeep. Get ready to get me out of here. See, the gospel of America has taught us how to live in prosperity because money means power. If I have all the money I need, I don't need to believe. I just have to take care of business. So you strive for a certain income, so then you don't have to worry about things. That's the gospel of America. You're blessed. Be blessed in abundance. Now, I'm not against abundance, but I think the abundance needs to go for the gospel. Now, some of you may be living in a life where you're serving God with all your heart, you're obeying God, and you have discovered the gospel of lack. It's like, where's my abundance, God? And it's like when I asked God, I said, God, why do I have to go through this faith stuff? I said, I hate this faith stuff. I said, why don't you just give me one good backer, one guy, lots of money, just say, here, I'm behind you. And God said, you have him. It's him. I was flying in first class because I found out I had, upgrades. What happens with airlines is after you fly so many miles, they give you one upgrade, which means for a 500-mile trip, like from here to Dallas, I get to go to first class if there's an empty seat. And if as you build up more. So I was in line to go fly up to Washington State, and the lady said to me, oh, do you want to use your upgrade? And I said, upgrade? What's an upgrade? She said, well, every 500 miles, it costs you one upgrade, you get to sit in first class. I said, well, how many upgrades do I have? She said, we have 49. Because I didn't even know I had them. I just stockpiled. She said, this trip will cost you 3. And I said, yes. So, and you know, when you're in first class, you have to act like you deserve to be there, you know. So I'm trying to act all important. You can't play games on your phone. You got to read something, and you know. So I'm sitting there in first class, in the front of first class, and it's like God came and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, look at you, sitting in the front of first class. He said, last year, you thought you were going to starve to death. And now you are in the front of first class. And here's what he spoke to me. He said, you'll never have the power to do this on your own, but I'll always take care of you. See, if you want to know prosperity, real prosperity is not seeking after the power to be safe. It's seeking after the one who says you're always safe. So when you go through hard times, which you might, which I'm going through right now, and my hard time is no more difficult than some of your hard times, you get to see mine, so you get to pat me on the back a little more. But some of you are carrying things in your mind and brokenness in your heart that no one gets to see. But it's just as much an infirmity as what I'm wearing right now. But I know I'm going to get through this. And I know you can get through this. That is the hope of Romans 8. That you and I, no matter where you are, no matter how big it may seem, no matter how many times you try to take him and wrestle him and carry him on your back, your old body, there's something better. It's called mortification. And if we don't stop, we will become the living creature that God made us, full of life, real love, real hope, real peace, real gentleness, real kindness. Not an act of kindness, but it's all I have is kindness. Because that's the fruit. Holiness won't be just an act of fruit, an act of holiness. I am acting holy today. I am not going to let my body tell me to do this today. No chocolate bar today. That is an act of holiness. That is what fasting is. It's an act of holiness, making your body submit to holiness. Mortification is cutting it off. Saying, you're no longer a voice in who I am. And that is a process that we're under. It's a hope of the gospel. And it's for every person. You may feel you're behind. You're not. You may feel you're a failure. You're not. When God shines a light on it and says, deal with it, you have everything you need right then to cut it off and to kill it. But don't go looking, because you'll find stuff. And don't ever ask your wife, because she'll find even more. You never do the dishes. Don't ask your spouse. The Holy Ghost will tell you when you're ready. And when you're ready, it'll be much more than the 10% above the ground. It's so much great things God has for you. Such a walk we have of humility. To know it's not our power, it's not our strength. It's all by Him. Amen. Don't give up. No matter how ugly it looks, you can look in that mirror, natural bathroom mirror, and you'll feel discouraged and a failure, and you'll feel all the things you're not. Don't look in that bathroom mirror to see who you are. Look in the mirror of the Word of God, because that's how God sees you. You're His child. God sees you as His child. And I'm going to close with this. I'll read what God says about you one more time and what He says about Jake. So, why don't you sit down, Jake, for a second right there. Yeah. See, you're tied together with this old body until the day you get a new body. But you can begin to make it mortify it. You can begin to mortify it today. Every day. And make it act dead, play dead, submit to death. And then when you get the new body, you won't have a fight anymore. So God says this of you. You and your spiritual body and the righteousness of Christ, the nature inside of you. You are the child of God. You're a branch connected to God. You're the apple of His eye. You are fearless. You're free from sin. Joel, come up and put your arm around your inner body so people understand. You're an heir with Christ. You're accepted, a friend of God. You're at one with Him. You're a new creature. You're the righteousness of Christ. You're blessed, seated with Him in heavenly places. You are chosen, forgiven, redeemed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are His workmanship. You're a member of His body. You've been brought near to Him. You're light. You're a citizen of heaven. You're raised in Him. You've been made complete in Him. You're loved by Him. You're His treasure, His masterpiece. You're His son. This is what God says about you. Now, you guys can sit down. And then, Jake, you can stand up, Jake. This is what God says about your body that you're wearing right now. Calls it mortal. Dirt. Corruption. Natural. Dishonored. Dust. Carnal. Vain. Wise from this world. Human. Powerless. These are words that God has for your body. You are not your body. You wear a body. And one day you will be redeemed with a new body. But until then, we can mortify it. Not just conform it, but mortify it. And that's the process we're in. Let's not quit, because it's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. Amen? Amen. Won't you stand with me? Give our guys a big hand clap. Thank you, boys. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank You that each person here is not cast aside, but is lifted up by Your word. Each person here is not discouraged. They're hoped. They're encouraged. No matter how difficult their struggle is, whatever their struggle is coming from their body, whether it be depression, whether it be fear, loneliness, whether it be anger, whether it be rejection, whether it be lusts for things they're not supposed to have. Father, I thank You that there's a hope that You've given to us. The body's not enough to get us there, but Your Holy Spirit is enough to help us to walk past every infirmity that tries to stop us, that we have in Your Holy Ghost a teacher, a mentor, a guide, a comforter to help us every step of the way. That if we don't quit, we are just simply like a lady in labor. We're suffering for something that's glorious. And we thank You that You have great things ahead for each one here. There's no limitations. There's no limits. No one's further ahead. No one's further behind. But we're walking together as family to become a church that touches this world with love and miracles and gentleness and truth. Thank You for believing in us to let us know there's something more valuable there for each of us. We won't give up. We won't give up. We won't give up. In Jesus' name, amen.